This is the period of the year when world leaders gather in New York to give their speeches to the UN General Assembly. And in fact, this will go on for a month until the UN anniversary on October 24. Ang ating Pangulo ay nakapagbigay na ng kanyang talumpati. Narinig na natin ang iba pang mga Pangulo. The common agenda of the speeches is how there can be world peace. Address the problems of mankind such as regional conflicts, climate change, and many other things that we share in common with mankind. Now, the United Nations was founded in 1945 in the wake of the Second World War in order that nations may use diplomacy to resolve their differences rather than resort to armed conflict. We ask the question, has it succeeded? Nagtagumpay ba ang United Nations sa kanyang layunin? My answer personally would be that it has contributed but not succeeded totally. The Middle East is a showcase both of this contribution as well as the lack of total success. The basic conflict between Arabs and Jews is still there. The Palestinian issue is still unresolved. But who can deny that it has contributed, as demonstrated by the fact that major enemies are now in diplomatic relations, and this probably is best exemplified by Egypt and Israel. They have not had any war since 1973. That was the last war between Egypt and Israel. Now, before that peace accord, which was signed in 1979 between Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin of Israel, none were more mortal enemies, so to speak, than Egypt and Israel. And this goes back to biblical times. And as enemy of Israel, Egypt, as we saw, became the face of that evil system that is opposed to God. Bilang kaaway ng bayan ng Diyos, itong Ehipto ang naging mukha ng masamang sistema na laban sa Diyos, laban sa kanyang bayan. And some of the most fundamental issues and themes concerning Egypt carry on with the church in the New Testament. Although it is no longer Egypt as a nation opposed to the church, nonetheless, the themes are there. The role is there. And something that we can learn from, we learn the theme of redemption. Just as Israel was redeemed from Egypt, so God's people are being redeemed from the evil system represented by Egypt. Then from redemption, we saw how Egypt became the face of persecution against the people of God. Ito ang naging mukha ng pag-uusig laban sa bayan ng Diyos. At patuloy pa rin ang tema ng pag-uusig laban sa iglesia, laban sa mga mananampalataya. At patuloy pa rin itong nangyayari. But perhaps the greatest danger that Egypt posed to the people of God was its becoming an attraction to them. Yung nagiging pang-akit sa bayan ng Diyos. So all these themes we find as themes represented by Egypt, and even though it is no longer Egypt, yet in the New Testament, Egypt continues to be used as a motif, as a paradigm, as a pattern of what it is to be the enemy of God's people. Now with all these negative notes concerning Egypt, we come to the point in our conclusion that is probably most surprising of all. Given all these negative points regarding Egypt in relation to Israel, we might expect that the fitting conclusion is judgment, the judgment of Egypt, having been that evil system from which we are redeemed, being the persecutor of the people of God, and being the sinful attraction to compromise against the people of God. Probably the most fitting conclusion is to say God is going to judge Egypt. Now, there is a theme of judgment of Egypt that you will find in the scriptures, but it is not that with which we shall conclude. I will now ask you to turn your Bibles with me to another string of texts, short texts. First, Isaiah 19. Let us read verses 19 to 25. Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 to 25. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know that the Lord in that day, and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Now turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, let's just read verse 29 to verse 32. Psalm 68, verses 29 to 32. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. And I'll turn to one New Testament passage in Luke 24. So we have seen both in Isaiah and Psalm 68 the remarkable note of Egypt being called the people of God, and Egypt being one of those kingdoms that will offer gifts and offerings of worship to Yahweh. Now, what does that mean to the church? Luke 24, verses 44 to 47. Luke 24, 44 to 47. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the note we will conclude with is not that of judgment. Instead of judgment, as we might expect, what we are given in our Old Testament passages is a picture of Egypt in pleasant fellowship with Israel, even together with Assyria. Assyria is again one of those superpowers set against the people of Israel. Yet here in Isaiah 19, Egypt, Assyria, and Israel are all calling upon the same God, Yahweh. They are all worshiping the same Lord, doing the same thing in fellowship together. And that certainly is remarkable. That is certainly shocking in a pleasant sense. Yahweh, no less, is owning them in those very remarkable words, Blessed is Egypt, my people. Oh, my people. That's the category that is given to Israel. Israel is God's people. But now in this prophetic expectation by Isaiah, there will be a day, according to him, when God will call Egypt my people. And in Psalm 68, Egypt this time joins Ethiopia. Although Ethiopia today may be a poor nation, in those days, Ethiopia was one of the empires of the world. It was a superpower of its own. And now Egypt joins Ethiopia. And indeed, according to Psalm 68, all kingdoms of earth, and they are giving offering of worship to Yahweh. Now all these are remarkable pictures. And this Old Testament expectation is now linked with the New Testament church, with the New Testament church given a mandate and mission which is to extend to all nations. Now let me put the message in this way. The gospel mission of the church is divinely planned to reach all nations of the world. Ang misyon sa ebanghelyo ng iglesia ay plano ng Diyos na umabot sa lahat ng mga bansa ng daigdig. The gospel mission of the church is divinely planned to reach all nations of the world. Now, this is a breathtaking plan. It sounds arrogant to some. They think you are dreaming if you imagine that the Christian gospel will become such an influence in the world. Look at it. The gospel is waning in influence. Liberalism is on the rise. And you think the gospel will one day own the world as far as its mission is concerned. To many, that is simply arrogant. To others, simply too optimistic, an illusion, a dream. But say what they will, this is God's plan. And this is no less the promise of Christ. Ano man ang sabihin nila, ito ang plano ng Diyos. Ito ang kanyang pangako. Ginagarantiyan ng kanyang salita. At hindi lamang sa salita ng Diyos sa lumang tipan, kundi ito'y pangako na ginagarantiyan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo bilang ulo ng iglesia, bilang hari ng kanyang kaharian, na ang ebanghelyo ay aabot sa lahat ng bansa ng mundo. At para sa iyo at sa akin na iglesia, ito ang ating misyon. In order to appreciate this, let me put it in two statements. First, the gospel will reach all nations. And secondly, the gospel must reach our nation. So these two things we want to happen, we will see happen, whether in our lifetime or not, it will happen. First of all, the gospel will reach all nations. Ang ebanghelyo ay aabot sa lahat ng mga bansa. Now you notice I put this in the form of an assertion. Something that will definitely take place in the future. Hindi ito isang baka sakali, hindi ito sinasabi nating sana, kundi sinasabi natin na ito'y ipinangako, ginarantiyan ng Diyos na ang kanyang layunin na sakupin ang mundo ng kanyang salita, ito ay mangyayari. At dito'y ipinakita ang isang kagilagilalas na bagay na mangyayari ito sa pinakahindi inaasahan na abutin ng salita ng Diyos, ang pinakakaawe ng Israel, ang Ehipto. Listen to the words again of Isaiah, "Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day." When Isaiah used these words, one of his burdens in his prophetic ministry was to tell Judah, to tell Hezekiah and all those other kings of Judah, avoid Egypt like the plague. That was his message. Egypt was to be avoided. As they saw the threat of Assyria, the temptation for Judah was to have alliance with Egypt. And Isaiah again and again bore upon his prophetic ministry to the kings of Judah, telling them, no, that is the wrong direction. You don't go to Egypt. So Egypt was set against Israel. At the time that Isaiah had his prophetic ministry, Egypt was the last nation on earth you would ever think will consider even Israel's God. And yet here is the prophecy of Isaiah that one day Egypt will know the Lord, the Egyptians will know the Lord, and they will worship the Lord. And that is precisely the point. The last of such nations set against God, those nations that resisted Israel, someday these nations will bow down to Israel's God. And the point that we should learn from this is that even resistant nations now will someday yield to the message and call of the gospel of Christ. Kahit ang mga bansa ngayon na may resistensya sa ebanghelyo, darating ang araw, darating ang panahon na sila ay magpapasakop din, makikinig, magbubukas sa mensahe ng ebanghelyo. Now, this is part of the prophetic expectation present in the message of the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah was just one of those and probably the most vocal when it came to Egypt's future conversion. And yet this is scattered all throughout the Old Testament expectation. Listen to this. Isaiah 55 and verse 5. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. Listen to Psalm 67, 2 and following. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Yan ang inaasahan nila. Darating ang panahon na ang pamamahala ng Diyos ay kikilalanin ng iba't ibang mga bayan, ng iba't ibang mga tao. Ito pang isa, Psalm 22:27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. So here again is the expectation that one day all nations of the earth will flock together to worship the same God. Remarkable even in those times, still remarkable in our day, apparently a delusion. But no, this is guaranteed by the promise of God. One of the most eloquent is Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Mapupuno ng pagkilala sa Panginoon ang buong mundo. Oo, itong mundo na puno ng sigalot, itong mundo na puno ng kasalanan, itong mundo na patuloy pa rin ang pag-uusig laban sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano, ito ang mundo na sinasabi ng ating Biblia ay mapupuno, mapapalibutan ng pagkilala sa Panginoon kung paanong pinapalibutan ito ng tubig. That's the expectation, and these are visions that informed the prayers of God's people praying for the invocation of God's blessing upon the nations. At a time that the likes of Egypt could only be thought of as enemy, yet this hope was nurtured. Naging bahagi ito ng pag-asa ng bayan ng Diyos na ang kaaway kagaya ng Ehipto ay darating ang panahon na siya ay kikilala sa Panginoon. Now, the challenge of this to us is fundamental. Let us cultivate a global consciousness of and concern for the mission of the gospel. Magkaroon tayo ng pangmundong kamalayan at pagmamalasakit sa misyon ng Ebanghelyo. Let us cultivate a global consciousness of and concern for the mission of the gospel. So what was nurtured as hope in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it became a missionary mandate. Kung ano yung pag-asa sa lumang tipan, pagdating sa bagong tipan, naging mandato ng iglesia. Itong sinasabi ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga apostol, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You try to put yourself in the place of these apostles. You were a small band in a small country and under a superpower at that, the Roman Empire, much of which has never heard of the name Jesus. Much of which has not heard of one in Jerusalem who died and was buried and rose again. And at least to most of those, the idea of a dead man rising from the dead is, if not comical, certainly a scandal. And now they are being told, this is the message you will bring not just to your nation, this is the message you will bring to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And when you look at every version of what we call the Great Commission, there is that part always of going to all nations. Hindi iniiwan itong lahat ng mga bansa. Make disciples of all nations is Matthew's version. Preach the gospel to every creature is Mark's version. And then you have the complement of Luke in Acts to the uttermost parts of the earth. They do not forget that this is the gospel that is intended not for a particular race or nation. This is for all races. This is for all nations. And if that is the case, then this is not intended to be an isolated thought of the church. Rather, this should be one that should be part of our thoughts every time we think of mission. We want to know how the gospel is now doing in the world. And while it has advanced much further afield than before the time of William Carey, there is still much that is undone. There are still peoples that are unreached. This is the reason that we include in our prayer meeting that part in our intercession when we pray for countries. Pinapanalangin natin ang iba't ibang mga bansa. Bahagi ito ng paglinang natin, ng kamalayan, na pangmundo dapat ang iniisip nating misyon. Politicians all over the world today are talking of world peace. And they talk of world peace while there is an ongoing build-up of arms. Our idea of world peace is built upon the spread of the gospel and the recognition of the lordship of Jesus Christ. It could not be put more eloquently than did Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and following. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that a mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their sword into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Translation of this in our terms is that there will come a time when churches will have such influence in the world that teachings of Christianity will be something that people want to hear. That Christian teachings will have such an influence that one of the effects is world peace. And it is about the gospel. Now, we will not all be missionaries, but do your vocation in such a way that you contribute to the good of the world. Whether it is in technology, academe, anumang magagawa mo para sa ikaambag ng kapayapaan at kaginhawahan dito sa mundo, kahit pa yan ay pagpapalaki ng anak na maiaambag mo sa susunod na henerasyon, yan ay bahagi ng ating ginagawa para sa ikabubuti ng ating mundo. Ngunit bilang iglesia, ang ginagawa ng iglesia para sa kapayapaan ng mundo ay hindi yung makisangkot tayo sa politika. Ang ambag ng iglesia para sa kapayapaan ng mundo ay ang ikalat ang ebanghelyo. At sa pagkakalat ng ebanghelyo, diyan mangyayari yung sinasabi ni Isaiah, they will beat their swords into plowshares. We have the message of peace. We declare reconciliation with God through the Prince of Peace. And that's our message to the world. And if such as Egypt is expected to one day yield to the word of Yahweh, then there is no reason why we may not expect other countries that now seem so resistant to the message. Someday they will. Someday China will. Someday Russia will. Someday all these other countries that remain resistant to the gospel, someday they will. And if that is the expectation of the prophets for such a nation as Egypt, let that be our expectation. For we have a message that is not hidden, but a message that should be clearly broadcast and published that has its effect on peace. In 1798, Napoleon invaded Egypt. And even though he would later be driven away by the English forces, that invasion discovered one of the greatest archaeological finds, the Rosetta Stone. The Rosetta Stone shows three languages, the Greek, the Coptic, and the hieroglyphic. Until that time, nobody knew how to read hieroglyphic. Then the Rosetta Stone, people began to study it, try to discover and break the code. But none was successful until Jean-Jacques Champollion, a French scholar. And one of the things he discovered was something contrary to the expectations until then of what the hieroglyphics were. It was thought until then that the hieroglyphics were pictures, therefore representing objects. By sheer painstaking study, Champollion discovered that the hieroglyphics were in fact alphabetic. They were representing sounds. And with that, many other artifacts of Egypt, until then hidden, were suddenly brought to light. Egypt came to be an understood nation as a result of the discovery of the hieroglyphic. Well, that's good for scholarship. But brethren, the Bible has never been in hieroglyphic. The Bible is an open message, and its message is towards peace. We don't need to break a code. That code has been broken in Christ. And now we publish it, and we should have a global perspective as far as the message of the gospel is concerned. And my question to you is, are you a part of the world that we are seeking to reach? Or are you with Christ? There is an invisible line that divides people in this church, in this congregation. Some of you still need to be reached. Some of you still need to put yourself under the claims of Christ. And this church, and I as a preacher, represent the mission of this church, calling upon you, come to Christ. Put yourself under His claims. Yield to His rule. Pay Him allegiance. Exercise faith in Christ. And if you are a follower of Christ, then it should be part of your mission to reach the world. William Carey, as we all know, is considered the father of modern missions. Before he went to India, two books influenced him. One was theological, Andrew Fuller's The Gospel Worthy of All Acceptation. It's a book that argues for the responsibility of the church to reach to the heathen, that is the pagan nations. That's one book that influenced him. The other book is not even theological. It's Cook's Voyages. Captain Cook's Voyages, discoverer of Australia and many other places. And as Carey studied that, he was thrilled by the thought that there are so many other lands yet to be reached. Well, those were days that even maps were yet inaccurate. We live in days when we have a more precise knowledge of the world. And we should have a more global consciousness. And that's what we want. The gospel will reach all nations. Now, if you want that, then I come to the second. The gospel must reach our nation. Now, you will note in the first point, I put it as an assertion, the gospel will reach all nations. It's a pledge of God. It's guaranteed. But this second point I put in the imperative. The gospel must reach our nation. Because I want us to think of this as our special duty as Filipino Christians, as a Filipino church. And what was said of Egypt, we can put for Egypt's place our own nation. And it will not be a misapplication. It will not be a misreading. Can we not read here, then the Lord will be known to the Philippines, and Filipinos will know the Lord. in that day. Isn't it exciting? Isn't it thrilling to even imagine one day? But our nation must be our special concern and responsibility. Without forgetting the world, this is our special responsibility. Now, some will object, but Pastor, isn't the Philippines already a rich nation? Naabot na. Alam ng Ebanghelyo dito. Well, I say not fully of the true gospel of Christ. Let us be thankful that we are better off than other neighboring nations in terms of the outreach of the gospel. But mind you, sometimes I feel it is better to begin in a pioneering situation where people have not heard at all of the gospel than these people who have heard so much of the counterfeit of it. And there is so much more difficulty convincing them of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear of so many claims of the wonders that the gospel has done to the Philippines. I hear so many claims of thousands upon thousands, even millions of born-again Filipinos. If we are that, why are we this kind of nation? Eh kung ganito tayo ka-born again, ba't naman tayo ganitong klaseng bansa? No, we are not. This is still a nation that has much to be done in terms of the gospel. And this is the significance, I think, one significance, that in the versions of the Great Commission, there is that part beginning at Jerusalem. One significance, at least of that, is start with your own. Just as the Jews then were expected to start with their Jerusalem, as we have a worldwide vision, let us start with our own. Magsimula tayo sa sarili nating bansa. Magsimula tayo sa sarili nating bakuran. Let us begin with our own backyard. Let our intercession be most urgent for our nation. Let your effort be most energetic for your nation. Let your giving be most sacrificial for your nation. And here we learn something from the last war between Egypt and Israel. Well, actually, it was Syria and Egypt treacherously making a combined attack on Israel in what has come to be known as the Yom Kippur War, the War of the Day of Atonement. Egypt from the south, Syria from the north, simultaneous attacks, and it was thought Israel had it. They may have had their successes in the past. It appeared, at least in the first days, Israel would be a gunner. Now, we now know that the then Prime Minister Golda Meir, that Iron Woman of Israel, has given a secret instruction of using nuclear bombs if ever Israel would really be defeated, as a secret message. But it did not have to come to that point. You know why? Upon the few days that Israel was in danger, Israelis by the thousands around the world returned to Israel, volunteering their service for their nation. Naiingit ako pag naisip kong mangyari kaysa Pilipinas, atakihin tayo. Ito naman ay hypothesis lang. Atakihin kaya tayo ng Malaysia at ng Japan. Mapupuno rin siguro ang airport natin ng mga paalis ng mga Pilipino. But there's the commitment. The Israelis already in the comforts of other countries, they could have just thought, well, we'll just send our contributions. But no, they returned willing to fight. And I'm talking of men and women willing to fight for the nation. And I challenge you, I challenge us as a church, be involved in our national mission through your personal effort at testimony and witness. Be involved in our national mission through your personal effort at testimony and witness. Makisangkot ka sa misyon nating pambansa sa pamagitan ng iyong personal na patotoo at pagbabahagi ng ebanghelyo. There are challenges when we bear witness to a pioneering situation, but there are also special challenges peculiar to our situation as a nation that has so much of the Christian teaching, both in its truth and so much more in its counterfeit. Filipinos are familiar with it to the point of contempt, to the point of presumption. And that is the situation of some of you who probably have grown up under the sound of preaching. Are you getting too familiar with it to the point of contempt? Are you getting too familiar with it to the point of presumption? And you say, I've heard it before. I can defer my decision. Well, you are in a miserable situation. But for us Christians, we all have our involvement cut out. We have a contribution to give to our national mission. You do not need to be a preacher. There is no need to teach pastors as I have the privilege of doing. That boy or girl in your house, if only you could have a faithful witness and testimony, might be your share to this national mission. Speaking for your faith in certain groups as gently as possible, but as decidedly and clearly as a Christian must, might convince others, someone among your peers, and be convinced of the Christian faith. But pray for the work of witness. Pray for those who engage in preaching. Invite people to the sound of the gospel. Do your part to evangelize. Give sacrificially. All these are part of our personal involvement in testimony and witness. There is so much that can be done. So much waiting to be done. Not all are preachers, but all Christians I call reachers. We all reach someone. I've been reading a lot of dedicated scholars of Egyptology. Yung mga nag-aaral, nagsasaliksik ng patungkol sa Egypt. One of those was Giovanni Belzoni. He was the discoverer of that colossal head of Ramses II. And just the story of transporting that head to the Nile, which he did with a few local workers by the ancient machine of wheel, you know, papatong sa tabla na may wheel, and then pagulong uli hanggang sa makarating sa Nile. That was really painstaking. Well, now the Ramses head is now one of the displays in the British Museum. Tinyaga. And this for the sake of scholarship. And I honor them for their dedication to the field of scholarship. The church is called upon to give painstaking effort to the field of mission, of evangelism, and most of all, for your country. I cannot forget the time after my study in London Theological Seminary and I was preparing to go home. My Filipino compatriot, who will remain unnamed, asked me, why go back? And he asked me that question like I was so stupid going back. For after all, he said, Filipinos try their best to come to another country, and when they're in another country, they do their best to stay even by illegal means. And here you are, you have all the legal means. So, why go back? Well, he was thinking I should be attracted to the affluence. Well, you know, I'll tell you a secret. If ever I stay in a Western country, it will not be for affluence. That never attracts me. If ever I stay in another country, it will be for one and one reason. It's cold. I hate hot. But then, why go back? And I thought of that. This is where my chief concern, my calling is our fellow Filipinos still lost, still enmeshed in a counterfeit gospel, in blind and dark superstition. According to the latest data of the 2010 census, the Philippine population is now 95 million. We're approaching 100 million. Oh, let us aspire of these millions of Filipinos, most of them still in darkness and blindness. Some of those are ours to reach. Some of those are yours to reach. Don't fail this in darkness and blindness. Let us make this nation our Egypt. And let us aspire that what will Egypt be? God calls it Egypt, my people. By the grace of God, someday we can say that God will call the Philippines His people. God will achieve His plan with your instrumentality or not. But let us be willing to be an instrument in the plan of God to conquer with the gospel all nations, including our nation. Our last hymn, O Zion, haste your mission, high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that He who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Ito na ang ating maging hangarin at pag-aalay ng ating sarili. Someday this nation will be called by God, my people. Let us be a church and let us be Christians who will be instrumental to that. Let's close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami, dakila naming Diyos sa tama, na sa huling yugto ng serye na ito ay ipinakita mo sa amin ang magiging kahinatnan ng Ehipto bilang isang bayan. Ang bayan ito na naging masamang sistema, isang tagausig ng iyong bayan at naging tukso sa kompromiso. Ngunit darating ang panahon na tatawagin mo ang Ehipto na aking bayan. At ito ang pag-asa na inilagay mo sa puso ng mga propeta ng Lumang Tipan at ginawa mong misyon ng Iglesia sa Bagong Tipan. Father, teach us to have that global consciousness of our mission of the gospel, a global concern for the gospel, for whatever may be the contributions of other agencies and other individuals to the betterment of this world. You have called the church to contribute to the peace of the world, not through politics, not through the economic gains, but through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the preaching of the gospel that one day they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, so that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Teach us, Father, to make this our hope, that countries today that now prove resistant to the gospel will one day yield to its call. Whether Islamic countries that now persecute Christians, communist countries that do not permit the mission of the Christian gospel, they will all yield. And if this is our hope for the world, Father, give us a special sense of duty for our nation. Give us a special sense that this is our mandate, to begin with our Jerusalem, begin with our Egypt, which may seem like a dream, and yet this is the hope that we can nurture in our hearts. And if that is the case, Father, help us, Lord, to be involved in our national mission as a church through our personal testimony and witness. Do help us have eyes to see the people that we can reach. There are now almost 100 million Filipinos, many of them in darkness, in the blindness of superstition and false religion. Some of them are ours to reach. Grant, O Lord, that we may not fail of this mission, and we do lift up to you this nation, a nation that we may sometimes be frustrated with, a nation that we may that may cause us embarrassment in the world, but it is in your sovereign wisdom, the nation to which you have called us and sent us, and we embrace the calling, we embrace the mandate. Do hear our cry for our beloved nation of the Philippines, that one day you may call it Philippines, my people, and may we do our share in this vision. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.